This is such an honor and a blessing to be here with Walter and Jennifer. They're such old and good friends of mine and so many of you, and I know they're just thrilled that many of you have come to join us this morning at this time. And I'm going to be just speaking a few moments. I told them last night at the rehearsal that I would keep the sermon to an hour and a half this morning, and I guess the word got around that some people are not here this morning. So I'll give you the short version. One of the things you might notice about Walter and Jennifer is they have a different look. They don't look like they had the same mother and father. But that's not something we look down on. That's something we celebrate this morning. In fact, if someone could look and see this body of believers together this morning, you know what they would say? They would say there's something that looks different about this church this morning. Different than what churches mostly look like on Sunday morning when everybody looks the same. We don't look the same this morning, but we look like heaven. We look like heaven. This is what heaven looks like. Not only black and white, but Pentecostal and Baptists and Catholics and Orthodox and all method. I don't know where all of you are from, but a lot of different places. A lot of different divided places that we all come from, non-denominational, the CEC, whatever it is, those divisions do not reside in the heavenly kingdom that we will all live in forever and ever. And so this morning, I want to talk about just a couple of things, how And our rector, our pastor, Father Carl, speaks a lot to us about effective Christianity and what it means to be an effective Christian, an authentic Christian. I can say this morning, that if our Christianity is to be authentic, it won't be divided and ineffective. It will be united and useful. Because there's something about division that causes us, whether we are in our family, whether we're in society or in the church, when we're divided, there are some results of that division. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And I want to speak just a few moments, not only to Walter and Jennifer, but to all of us, about them being to us here, to our family, to our church, to the world, to the community, a sign and a symbol of who Christ is. I just was pondering about what are the results of division. I listed several things, but I'm going to hone in on just a couple. The results of division are that actions are, or even relationships are unsuccessful, unproductive, fruitless, unprofitable, futile, purposeless, useless, worthless, ineffectual, and inefficient. That is at the worst. At best, division results in being inefficient. Now, I just want to pick out a couple of those things that are the results, I believe, of what division is. One, futile. Futile means incapable of producing any useful result. Pointless. And then something else that I mentioned, inefficient. Not achieving maximum productivity. So at worst, when we're divided, we're incapable of producing any useful result. That nothing good comes from division. That it's pointless. At best, being divided means we're inefficient. We're not achieving the maximum productivity. We're not doing the very best that we can do. And neither of those things are what God has called us to do in Christ Jesus. I just was thinking about some examples of division. And I'm gonna say some things, and it really, I don't want anybody to get upset. That's not my intention. And so I don't want to step on anybody's toes. If you're like if you're here and you're a city councilman, or if you're some official, public official, this is not meant to hurt you. But I've lived in this city for a long time. I love my city. I love Birmingham. I grew up on Center Street. Where I grew up, there was a street, Center Street, which as I was a child, when I was 13, I could stand on Center Street in 1963, and I could hear the gunshots and the fires, the gunshots fired on top of what was called Dynamite Hill. And we knew that as white people, we couldn't cross over to Center Street. And the black people couldn't cross over Center Street to where we live. This is the way my city was. And even as a child, it broke my heart. And I've watched this city for all these years. Now I'm 60, I think, right? My granddaughter said last night, I said, how old do you think Papa is? She said, 91? I'm not 91, but then I said, younger. She said, 90? Anyway, I'm 60, but all these years I've lived here, I've watched this city be divided. I've watched how politicians have protected themselves in these little places like, you know, Vestavia or Homewood and Mountain Brook and Fairfield. All these little places have their own little governments and have all been divided. And we've watched our city over those years never progress, never go anywhere. We wonder why nothing happens. We wonder why there's not effective our city is not effective as a community. Why is it happening? It's because we're divided. So our city has become incapable of producing anything. We don't have buses that can run. We don't have transportation systems. We don't have a lot of things even that we used to have. And I know this is kind of chasing a rabbit, but I'm speaking about an example of division. And what the results of division are. At best, it's inefficient, not achieving the maximum productivity. When we are gathered as the church in the earth, or even as our local church, when we're divided, by cliques or social, socioeconomic status or whatever it is, we have the same results. And we wonder why the world doesn't believe that the church is the place where you can hear about and know who Jesus Christ is. Why we're losing people. Why we're losing young generations of people. Because we're so divided. Now, I want to talk to you about the positive side, the results of unity. Results of unity are harmony, accord, cooperation, collaboration, agreement, consensus, solidarity. And again, I'll just pick two of those. First, harmony. The quality of forming a pleasing and consistent whole. Now, when I was a young guy, I remember listening to what they called doo-wop. Who knows what doo-wop? Doo-wop, these guys, they had no instruments, but they would sing mostly like on street corners and places. And they sang, though, in these perfect harmonies. And we hear it in the great choirs of the world. We hear harmony. And we know when there's harmony, it has a beautiful sound, no matter what it is, no matter what kind of music it is, no matter what. If there's harmony, it's not discordant. And it has a beautiful sound and it means something to our ears, no matter who we are. It's pleasant. It's pleasing. It's consistent. And then solidarity, the unity or agreement, especially among individuals with a common interest. Speaking of a common interest, Acts 1:14 says, "These all with one mind," or some of the translations say, "of one accord, were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." One, they had a purpose. They were actually coming together to choose the other two disciples. But they came together, the scriptures say, in one accord. You see, today what we believe is these two people who have a very different look on the outside will become one in the spirit. And what I'm saying also today is that the body of Christ, as divided as it is, grieves the Spirit of God because he has called his body to be one body. And I'm saying to you today that we're observing a sign and a symbol, first of all, of family. Walter and Jennifer will forever be a sign and a symbol to both of their families. That they'll always be looked at. They'll go, there's something. When Walter and Jennifer came together, there's something happened. It helped us deal with things, whether which side of the family, doesn't matter. It helped us deal with our own stuff, our own things that are inside of us that we know are part of division. And they brought to us a symbol of unity to our family. They're also a sign and a symbol of humanity, of what God wants in humanity. You know, we talk about, all of us, we pray and we wonder, we watch the news and we pray and we see people destroyed in war, and you know, we see little children killed in different countries and different places. We see all this destruction and war going on, and we're asking, you know, God, please stop war, bring peace. But what we really want is, God, stop the hatred that's in our hearts, that's in all of the world, that causes those things to happen, causes those wars to happen. And only God can root out that hatred and that division. And today, Walter and Jennifer stand before us as a symbol and a sign of what God desires to do throughout the world, to take people of different backgrounds, of different ideas, of different ways of thinking, of different ways of living, and putting us together in Him, in Christ Jesus, that He would receive the glory for all things. They're a sign and a symbol of the body of Christ. And I just touched on this a few minutes ago, but you know that heaven will not be made up. We won't have our little rooms where if we're Methodists or Baptists or Charismatics or Catholics or whatever we are, we're still separated. God will bring us together in Him, and that's His desire, to do His will on earth as it is in heaven. I'll tell you a story about a guy, and it's not meant to be disparaging. I'm not going to say who it is, but you know, I was talking to someone else actually was talking to this gentleman, and you know, he just came from a different background, a different time, and lived a long time ago, lived through a lot of things, and he would always say, you know, I'm not prejudiced. I don't think, you know, I like black people. I have friends that are black. But he would always, then he would say things that were kind of prejudiced, you know, and say, and so someone that was close to him challenged him and said, you know, what are you going to do when you get to heaven and you have to have a mansion next to a black person? And he looked at her like she was crazy and said, well, when they get to heaven, they're not going to be black. Well, I always had wondered how, you know, people came up with this theology, and I guess that, you know, that was it, that there's some kind of secret theology going on that everybody will be changed and there won't be black and white people. But I believe that there will, that we'll have glorified bodies, we'll be black and white, we'll be all the things that we are, but we'll be glorified, but we'll be together in unity. But again, it's the backgrounds, it's just things that we hear and we say, and then, but God has said so contrary. God has said things to us in Scripture. Listen to this, and I'm going to end with this. Galatians 3. This has always been one of my favorite verses because this is always where I've challenged people that we get caught up so much in our culture, and we let our cultures divide us, and we let our backgrounds divide us, and there's nothing wrong with being glad that of who we are, and we should be glad the way God created us. That is what is meant to be. God created us these different ways and with these different ideas and different things, and there's always a rejoicing in that. But there's not, if we let that become hatred and division, if we let those things overcome and overtake us, then we're not doing the will of God, and we're not being effective, and we're not showing unity to the world. So I've always loved this passage from Galatians 3:26. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you, say all of us, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, we may not all have the same mother and father or grandfathers or great-grandfathers or great-grandmother. We may not all have those in common, but we do have one in common, and that is Christ Jesus, and that is that we are the seed of Abraham, and we're called to glorify God in the earth and to glorify God in everything that we do, to glorify God in our witness and our testimony, and to glorify God today. And this day, God is being glorified by the union of these two people here among us, and you are glorifying God by being here in unity and fellowship with them, and I thank God for what He's about to do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.